This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, and happy now to be talking once again with our basketball insider, Mike Grenier. And Mike, welcome back. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty well. The weather has brightened up here in June, and the Celtics, after waiting for, it seemed like 3 months, finally get to play game one last night against the Dallas Mavericks in the finals, and they really took care of business. For a team that had so much time off, I thought they were very sharp, Rick.
We have a lot to talk about. But first, Mike, I want to congratulate you on winning another award from the Moynihan Student Lumber Athlete, Student Athlete Association. They're Student Athletes of the Year, Student Athletes of the Month. But they also honor sports people, us adults, us old-timers. Great to see you get yet another award. That's the second one for you.
Yeah, I'm very appreciative. I don't take these things for granted, especially as I'm getting older. It was nice to see everybody and reconnect with some coaches and athletes and former coaches who are now retired, you know. And, of course, the Salem News gang and you, Rick, and Bill Newell, of course, and people like Steve Krause of the Lynn Item. It was just great to reconnect with all those people. It was such a grand day, and I had my family there, my wife and grandson and daughter, and it was just a special, special occasion.
Absolutely, and of course, that also includes Kyle Gaudette, Phil Stacey, Matt Williams, all of the Salem News family, and just a great time seeing Mike Lynch there and all the guys you were talking about.
Mike Lynch, yes. I hadn't seen him since he had the stroke. Unfortunately, he had the stroke, but he seems to be in great spirits, and he's getting around a little better, so it was wonderful to see Mike Lynch.
There's no nicer guy in the industry. There's no nicer guy I've ever met in media than Mike, and we've met a lot of nice people. So anyway, let's get down to business. I'm going to start in a weird place, if you don't mind, Mike, and I want your thoughts on it, and then, of course, we'll go anywhere you want to go. But I want to start with Jason Tatum, of all people, and I want to start in a different place. I got a little frustrated with some of the stuff he was trying to do early on, and it looked to me like he was being doubled and triple teamed. And for a short time, I thought he was forcing it. But then all of a sudden, this is just my eyes, as he was going toward, you know, the basket or whatever he was doing on the offensive zone, he never did anything poorly on defense. I thought he was terrific. But on offense, I thought he was forcing it a little bit early and being, I thought, double and triple team. Then all of a sudden, he's being double and triple team. And damned if he didn't hit the open player every single time.
Right.
And he didn't force it after that. Finished with only 16 points. I thought he had a very, very good game. And I listened to a little bit of sports radio today, and they were saying the opposite, that he wasn't very good. I thought he was being really covered nicely by the Dallas defense, and he reacted accordingly.
No, Rick, I don't know what these radio announcers and these talk shows are talking about, because I see it completely different. I see it the way you did, because what I saw last night was I thought Jason Tatum was taking a physical pounding.
Yes, yes.
While getting a double-triple team, and he kept his cool.
Yes.
When he wasn't getting the officials, you know, calls. And he passed out of those double teams and triple teams to the corner, to the open men in the corner and on the wings for open three-pointers, and he did contribute 11 rebounds, a game high, and he did have 5 assists, and he did have a block shot. 6 turnovers, that was bad, but a lot of those came early on.
Yes.
When he was getting double and triple team, and he passed some open spaces and ended up out of bounds. However, to me, he played a terrific two-way game. He only took 16 shots. That's the reason he only got 16 points. But on the other hand, the reason he made those passes because of people like Horford and certainly Porzingis. They were making their outside jumpers, Derek White, Jaylen Brown. So he was making the right passes, and other guys were productive because of his passing game. So I don't understand the frustration or the anger or the criticism of Jason Tate. I don't get it, because I thought he played a terrific two-way game. When I look at it on the surface, yeah, Luka Doncic had 30 points. But he was far less effective than Jason Tatum, because, for one thing, Luka Doncic was completely exposed on defense last night. He can't play a stitch of defense. That's the reason Jason Kidd played zone part of the time, because Doncic and Kyrie Irving, he wanted to rest them on defense, and by playing zone, you're just playing an area. And whereas Tatum was playing his tail off on both ends of the floor, hustling and getting getting to loose balls and getting the rebounds. So I don't understand the criticism of Tatum at all.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, because I was surprised, you know, that that he wasn't the offensive star of the game. But then I looked at the box score, and unlike the Larry Bird days, we hearken back to the 50s and 60s where you got six or seven guys in double figures. And it's just, right. It's just, to me, that is like really, really important. And before we get to the obvious, Porzingis, talk about the Celtics defense, because I thought it was unbelievably good.
Well, you know, it was. And I think, especially as it regards to Doncic, to me, here's a key stat, Rick. I don't know how many people saw this today. Doncic is used to getting triple doubles, which is nice. Okay, he'll get you the 28 points and the 11 rebounds and the 10 assists or 15. He had one assist last night. One assist. That means the Celtics were passing off his were closing off his passing lanes. He couldn't get the ball to the right people to make the shots. They were bottling him up so much that he couldn't make the proper pass with the shot clock running down. Therefore, he wound up with one assist, which is way below his standard, way below his average. And that really was a critical component of what Dallas does, is his assist. And he didn't get those assists last night. So he got his 30 points, but he took 26 shots. He was like 12 for 26. And, of course, defensively, he was a huge liability. So to me, they took care of the Luka Doncic business last night. And you can see Doncic getting frustrated. And because he's not in what I would call superb physical condition, he looked gassed in the second quarter. His face was all red.
Yeah.
I mean, his face was flushed, and I don't think it was because they were losing. It was because he was tired.
Now, contrast that with Al Horford, who is the starting center for the Celtics last night. And then at the seven-minute mark thereabouts, in comes Porzingis, and the whole game just changed right there.
Right. Well, you know what, Rick? We mentioned the defense and the Celtics team defense, but individually, against Al Horford, Doncic was 1 for 8.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
And as when he was the primary defender, when Horford was the primary defender on Doncic was 1 for 8, 2 points, and he had a shot blocked. Horford was so active on defense last night. Horford's running around like a 28-year-old instead of a 38-year-old. And I think because he's seeing that this is his best opportunity to win a championship, he goes all anyway. He's the ultra professional. He would be playing that way even if the team had gone 20-60 this year. Okay.
You know what's funny, Mike? You know, you talk about MVPs, and of course it's always Tatum and Brown. But how valuable has Average Al, as Nitwit Radio used to call him, been and is right now?
Well, he's sort of the understated great player, right? Because he doesn't have to be the primary or secondary option on offense, and he'll take the occasional three and hit it, but he's active on the glass. He's really alert, and he knows that he has such a great understanding of the game after so many years that he continues to play great defense at age 38. He keeps himself in great shape, so we've seen those games in the playoffs this year when Porzingis was out, when he played 40, 41, 42 minutes and was still effective. So I bet you, though, he was glad to see Porzingis back last night, only to reduce his minutes. He played 30 minutes last night, which is kind of ideal in the playoffs for the way that Coach Joe Mazzulla wants to use Horford. 30 minutes is ideal if Porzingis can play somewhere in the 20s or increase it up to 30 as the series progresses.
Okay, let's talk about Mazzulla, and then I'll go wide open for you. Mazzulla, of course, starting Horford, bringing in Porzingis, using his rotation with Pritchard and Hauser, who had just about the same exact equal minutes out there, and they didn't seem to lose much. But there was a time after that big first-half lead in the third quarter when it started to fade away, and Mazzulla calls a timeout. End of game. It's over. The Celtics come right back and finish it up for the next quarter and a half. So your thoughts on Mazzulla?
Yeah, that was a terrific timeout he took, because the lead had been 27 in the first half, and it was reduced to 8. I expected the Dallas to make a run. They're a great offensive team. They got it down to 8. Mazzulla called a timeout, and I think there was a terrific quote from Jaylen Brown afterwards where he says, basically, it was sort of, okay, just breathe. This is a game now. It's 8 points. We got to continue and get back to the type of basketball we were playing in the first half. And the lead suddenly went from, you know, it had been shut down to 8 points. It suddenly went gradually back up to 22. So they were able to regain total control of the game and get it back up to 22, and the Dallas Mavericks were finished at that point. So obviously Jason Kidd took out, I thought he took out his status with like five and a half minutes left in the game, basically putting up the white flag in order to give the top guys a little bit of rest to get ready for game two on Sunday night.
All right, so talk about Porzingis and all the supporting cast.
Well, Porzingis, the thing that surprised me, Rick, I want to get your take on this as well, is that after not playing for, I counted 38 days, he was out from April 29th to June 6th. Of course, there was some built-in time off because the NBA delayed the start of the finals to June 6th. However, it was all healing time for him, and I thought he would be a bit rusty last night in game one, maybe miss some shots and have trouble getting back on defense and all that. But no, Mazzulla, I thought, did a phenomenal job by not starting him. Easing him into the game with like 5 minutes gone in the game was a great move because Horford started, the Celtics took a lead, Porzingis came in, and the lead suddenly went way up because he hit his first few shots. He blocked a couple of shots. He was instantly impactful, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was just made a massive impact from the first minute that he was in there. And you could tell the guys, you could see the confidence growing in the team as Porzingis was just running around the court, blocking shots, making three-point jumpers. And also, too, where he's most effective is when he gets into the paint and takes on a smaller guy and just shoots over him. It gives the Celtics some easier baskets instead of three-pointers. And I just thought you could see that guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Derek White didn't have to think too much about taking more three-pointers because they knew Porzingis could score from inside.
How about the smile on his face in those close-ups on television?
Oh, yeah. I think he was just, it was a total joy for him to be playing again after so much time off. And, of course, he's closer to a championship than like the rest of the guys, than they've ever been in their entire lives. So he's playing for keeps here now. And we just got to cross our fingers that he doesn't get re-injured. But he certainly, I thought it was terrific last night. He played, let's see, he played 21 minutes, Rick, and it was 8 for 13. So 21 minutes is a terrific way to break it in. He was able to rest down the stretch because the Celtics had that 22-point lead in the fourth quarter. So it's a good spot to be in with another couple of days to rest before they play on Sunday night. So I would think, if I had to guess, I think Mazzulla will use the same formula on Sunday night and start Horford and bring in Porzingis after approximately 4 or 5 minutes.
Now, it seems to be also that Holiday and Derek White played their usual role. They didn't have to take over the game. They saw the flow of the offense, which was distributed among everyone, but they were unbelievably good on defense.
That's right. And, you know, Rick, you mentioned those old-time Celtics and having 6-7 guys in double figures. Well, they had 6 guys in double figures last night, including Porzingis with 20 off the bench. But when I think of Derek White and Holiday, I think of them primarily as real stoppers on defense. But yet, at the same time, they'll on a given night, they can get you 25, 26 points. Last night, Derek White gave the Celtics 15, and Jrue Holiday only took 9 shots and still got him 12 points. And he was a plus 20 when he was on the floor. The Celtics were a plus 20. And Holiday is the perfect – he's got the perfect attitude, playoff attitude, in the sense that he's been through so many playoff games before, and he won a title with the Milwaukee Bucks in 2021. And he had, I thought, the funniest quote last night after the game when he was asked about the Celtics' varied approach to guarding Doncic. And he said, "We threw different looks at Doncic. Some guys are more aggressive than others on him." And he says, "Even our white guys can guard."
I didn't know that.
And he said, as a matter of fact, it just came out so naturally. It wasn't the least bit of fact. It was kind of in a joking manner. But he meant it. He meant that everyone chipped in and played the good defense on Doncic. And I'm thinking, Jrue Holiday was referring to, the fact that when Doncic took the basket, Big Porzingis was right there to block shots or deter or rearrange the shot, So. I love that comment by Holiday, and what a pro he is. He's fearless. I love it when he takes it to the basket, And it looks like, oh, is he in trouble? Someone's going to come over. And he somehow muscles his way and makes a short layup or a short turnaround jumper. He's uncanny at that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think finally, Mike, before we take a preview or take a guess at the next game, what about Hauser and Pritchard? What's your take on their roles in this game so far, in this series?
Well, certainly we were in coverage with Hauser, who was like, 3 for 4 last night, I believe. A couple of threes and a two-pointer. And I say that it was highly encouraging because in the previous series, he shot like less than 10% on three-pointers in that sweep of the Indiana Pacers. So I was very concerned about him because he does play a big role off the bench. They need him to hit those open three-pointers. He didn't do it in the Indiana Pacers series. But last night he came out and hit a couple right away, and then late in the game he hit a long two-pointer. So he had the 8 points. And Pritchard did have a down game as a shooter, 0 for 7. But obviously we've seen in previous playoff games he's had some very strong games shooting, distributing the ball, even getting offensive rebounds. Last night was an off night for him shooting. I'm not so worried about him. I was more worried about Hauser going into the series than I was about Pritchard. So we'll see if Pritchard can bounce back in game two here and hit a couple shots.
What about on defense? It seems to me Hauser's pretty good on defense, and I really haven't noticed Pritchard.
Well, you know what? I noticed last night when Hauser was in there, Dallas was setting a high screen so that Hauser would be switched on to Doncic. And a couple times Doncic thought he had him in his hip pocket, and he missed a contested jumper against Hauser. And to me, I thought that was Mazzulla's probably thinking, that's a good thing right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hauser was not getting beat badly on defense. He was hanging tough on Doncic without committing the fouls. As you know, Doncic draws a tremendous number of fouls, and he didn't get them against, couldn't draw the fouls against Hauser. I think one time he was able to draw a 2-point shooting foul on Hauser, but after that, a couple times, Hauser basically put a stop to that.
What's weird is you haven't mentioned Kyrie once.
Well, Kyrie, right? 6 for 19, had a bad game. He was sort of inviting trouble by saying he was hoping to. He actually invited trouble after the game by saying, I didn't think it was so loud in there tonight. So, I mean, what is he thinking?
Yeah, I know, God.
He's already antagonized the Boston fans over the years, although he was very apologetic in the days leading up to the game, saying, maybe I misbehaved and maybe I was a little immature. But yet, after the game, he says, I didn't think the building was loud. I mean, and he did not have a good game, 6 for 19. They did a tremendous job on him defensively. That was Jrue Holiday. That was Derek White. I love the way the Celtics just kind of changed the players around on who was guarding Doncic and who was guarding Kyrie Irving. It just made it a little bit more complex for the offensive system that Jason Kidd likes to run. I mean, really, Kyrie had a lot of trouble at the rim because the shot blockers were there. Jaylen Brown came up with a couple of, I thought Jaylen Brown was a man among boys last night defensively, Rick, in terms of making a couple of incredible block shots when guys were at the rim. He just showed his athleticism, his timing, didn't commit fouls, and then he would come down at the other end and take it to the basket real strong. So Tatum is getting double and triple teams. That means guys like Jaylen Brown, who are also very gifted offensive players, those guys can get to the basket when Tatum is double and triple teamed. That's the value of Tatum right there. The fact that when he's doubled and tripled, it leaves other guys open to do whatever they can do. So,
well, to get this far along in our conversation and not have talking about Jaylen Brown, I guess that shows you where the Celtics are, because absolutely he was rock solid last night.
Oh, yeah. We look at him, Rick, 37 minutes, 7 for 12 from the floor. We got to say, though, the caveat about him is always at the free throw line, right?
Yep.
6 for 11 last night.
Yep.
And it didn't bother you last night because the Celtics won by 18, but you don't want to see that happen in a close game. So he finished with 22 points. You know, he had 3 block shots. To me, that was critically important because they were at the rim. And he's taking it as a point of pride, I think, to play great defense. I mean, he's always been a good defender, but against these playoff teams, he's taken his defense to another level, I think.
You know, what's funny, Mike, is in hockey, it's so important for the forwards to come back on defense, and it's very hard to do because you want to score. You don't want to run all the way back on the ice just to play defense.
Yeah.
And in basketball, These Celtics, honest to goodness, this particular team just reminds me so much of the early years that you and I have talked about, because no matter what happens on offense, miss a shot, get disappointed, don't get the foul, they are back on defense, and that won the game last night.
Well, that's what I was impressed with all of them, but particularly Tatum, instead of getting that frustration thing where he'd raise his arms up and possibly draw a technical and not get back on defense for a couple of seconds, no matter how hard he was getting pounded while trying to get the ball to the basket and trying to draw fouls, he was getting back on defense because he knows it's a five-man effort and Dallas is a dangerous offensive team. So he wasn't leaving anything to chance last night. He wasn't leaving it up to the officials. He was just getting back there, keeping his mouth shut, and playing hard on both ends of the floor. I was so impressed with the way his demeanor was throughout the game, you know. So,
you know, I just thought of something, and that's leadership. That's captain-like qualities.
No question. No question. I just think they're so close to winning this thing now, and I think game two, Rick, I know you wanted to mention game two, and I'll preface it by saying, to me, game two, and you always say like game five is pivotal because it's 2-2 series a lot of times or it's whatever, but I think game two in this series is pivotal because I think if the Celtics can, even if they win by one, it doesn't matter if they win by one or 21, if they're up two games to nothing, I cannot see that Dallas team winning four of the next five games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just can't see it happening. The Celtics are too good all around to lose four or five if they have a 2-0 lead in the series. So I think this game two on Sunday, same time, same place, 8:45 p.m. or whatever time they start these days, it's going to be so important if they can win that game, because I think Dallas will really be, because the Celtics have shown winning on the road has been a task that they've been able to handle, 6-0 on the road in these playoffs. So Dallas won't be that thrilled to be playing a 6-0 team when they get back to Dallas.
Finally, Mike, is it your impression that you mentioned Doncic being red-faced? Can this Celtic team take advantage of that and push the ball and really wear down maybe Doncic and Kyrie at the same time?
Oh yeah, I would be willing to put a bet that is part of the overall scheme, that whether Brad Stevens contributed and at least as a listener, a fly on the wall, but certainly Mazzulla and his coaching staff and the players, obviously they develop a game plan just the way they do in the NFL, a series strategy, and I bet you a big part of that series strategy was to work Doncic and Irving defensively so that as the game goes on, they become less effective offensively. They play the heavy minutes. Irving and Doncic play on a regular basis. They play the heavy minutes. Kyrie in particular is now in his 30s. Doncic is still a young player. But let's face it, Doncic is not in the best physical condition. If they can make him work for 40 minutes on defense, they're going to be less effective on offense in that fourth quarter. And I think that was perfect example of that last night. And I think Jason Kidd knows that. And I think that's why Jason Kidd, the coach of Dallas, went to a zone defense at various times last night. But I think the Celtics will continue to hunt both Doncic and Irving defensively. They'll want to attack both those guys until Kidd figures out and tries to adjust some other way. The other thing, Rick, I thought was that Dallas's complementary players, guys like Gafford and Lively and Jones, guys who were really strong against the Minnesota Timberwolves, were non-factors last night. P.J. Washington didn't do much in that game. He was tremendous. He had 14 points, but Jones had 5 points and Gafford had 8 points. All those complementary guys were not nearly effective as the Celtics complementary guys.
All right, that's our basketball insider, Mike Grenier, with great analysis. I'm Rick Moore. This is MSONewsSports.com.